Good afternoon. This is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Monday, September 25th, 1995, about 1:30 in the afternoon. I am in Whiting, New Jersey, which is the sort of lower middle of New Jersey, with Mrs. Clara Schmidt. Mrs. Schmidt came from Germany in 1923. She was 18, not quite 19, but almost when she came. We are in the home of her daughter, Clara Norton. Anyway, Mrs. Schmidt, what is your birth date?
My birthday is February 23rd, 1905.
And can you say your whole name for me before you were married and spell everything out?
The whole name.
The whole name.
Clara Louise Storz. S-T-O-R-Z.
Spell Clara for me.
Clara. Well, in German it's a K. And in here I write it with a C.
But in Germany it was K-L-A-R-A.
Yes.
Where in Germany were you born?
I was born in Schramberg, Württemberg, Germany.
Can you spell that for me, please?
Schramberg. Schramberg, S-C-H-R-A-M-B-E-R-G, Schramberg.
Yes, and the other?
Württemberg, W-U-R-T-T-E-M-B-E-R-G, Württemberg.
Thank you. Where in Germany is that?
In the Black Forest.
And where is the Black Forest?
South Germany. Near France.
Oh, so over on the western, southwestern side of Germany. As a child, what do you remember about the town that you grew up in?
Oh, it was beautiful home. We were in a small town. It grew after a while. It was 15,000 inhabitants at that time. That was when it first started up.
Talk about the buildings in the town. What sticks out in your mind about the buildings that were in Schwamberg?
Oh, we have a beautiful church, an old church. And then we had an old city hall, but after a while, when we grew up, they built a new one. And then we had a small post office. What else do I... And we had about three factories.
And what were the factories making?
Two of them made clocks and watches, pocket watches mostly, and that was Junghans. Then we had a Hamburg Amerikanische Uhrenfabrik. Oh, can I talk German?
You can, but I'll have to have you spell it all if you do. Let's talk about the factories a little bit. You said two of the factories made watches.
Yes, and you said clocks and watches, all kinds.
And then you said the name of the factory.
Yeah.
Can you spell that name?
Junghans.
Right. How do you spell that?
An I-U-N-G-H-A-N-S.
And why does that stick out in your mind? Why do you remember the watch factories so well?
That's where everybody worked there. Everybody. And it was like our neighbor.
So that was the main industry in this town then?
Yeah,
most
Junghans.
Of the people worked for that.
And then there was the other one was on the other side of the town, the Hamburg Amerikanische Uhrenfabrik. It's no more
that?
There now.
Can you spell all that for me?
Hamburg, H-A-M-B-U-R-G, Hamburg. Americani, A M, the spelling is a little hard. A
Take
M K, we use the K. A N E S E H E. Amerikanisch. Amerikanische Uhrenfabrik. Uhren. Can I say it in German?
Yes, but spell it as you're doing.
U H R E N Uhren Fabrik F A B R I K.
Thank you. That was, you did a great job.
Well,
hardest part of the interview, probably, is just spelling that. What did they make there?
In this Uhren Fabrik?
Yes.
Clocks and watches.
Oh, they also made clocks and watches.
Yeah, yes. The same thing. Same thing there. But then there was a furniture factory. My mother is originated from there. Moser. My mother's mother was a geborene Moser.
How do you spell Moser?
M-O-S-E-R.
And is that a town nearby?
It's in our town.
It's part of it.
On the end of the town.
Was your mother's family involved in the furniture making factory?
Yes, her relatives before her. She was a geborene Moser. Her mother was a geborene Moser. Her mother. So much I don't know, but we used to go there. We were children, we were five children, and she used to send us there to ask them for some handout because we were poor.
And they were used a little to more wealthy.
Yes. Yeah. And they used to fill up a basket full of stuff for us. Food, clothes, anything.
And was that would be your grandmother who was doing that?
No, no. They were my mother's grandmother. My mother's mother. So it was on my mother's side. They were.
I see. Let's talk about your mother. What was her name?
My mother was Frieda Haller.
Can you spell
she, that? She was a geborene Moser.
Spell Frieda Haller, please.
F-R-I-D-A, Frieda. Haller, H-A-L, now I don't remember, I think it's two L's. E-R, Haller.
H-A-L-L-E-R.
Yes.
And that was her maiden name before she was married.
That was her maiden name, yes.
Tell me what your mother looked like to you as a child. Describe her in words for me.
Oh, she was a beautiful woman. She was a good mother. Wonderful.
What did she look like?
Well, she looked something like me.
Describe what that
I had
like.
Pictures, but I gave them all back to my sister in Germany.
How tall was your mother?
She was about maybe a little taller than what I am now.
Which is 5'6" maybe, or?
Maybe 5.5 foot.
5.5. What color hair did she have?
Brown.
Brown hair.
Same as what I had.
And how did she wear her hair when you were a child?
She wore it up in a bun right here. Up, combed up, and she made a bun right here.
And what was your mother's frame like?
Something like myself.
Which is what? Say how she was built.
She was heavy built down below here. Heavy legs.
In the legs.
Only, you know, she had, my mother had long skirts. We never saw her legs. But I had legs like her.
What was her personality like?
Her personality was a wonderful one. She was a wonderful mother to us.
Is there a story that you like to tell about your mother when you were a small child? Something maybe that you did with your mother, or something she did for you?
Oh, she always took us by the hand. If she went someplace and we were at home, the one that was at home she kept taking us wherever she went. She didn't leave us home.
Where would she take you?
To my grandfather. To her father. He lived a long time, my grandfather. I had a wonderful grandfather.
What sticks out in your mind about those visits to your grandfather?
Oh, I was so happy when we went there. He used to make a plate of milk soup.
A plate of milk soup?
Yeah, milk with bread in it. And that tasted so delicious.
Did he live by himself?
He lived by himself. Well, he lived with the daughter, but the daughter died. I was a little girl, and my mother took me to there when she died. She was laying on the deathbed. That was my mother's sister.
Do you know how she died?
No, I don't know.
Do you remember?
But she was 33 years old only.
A young woman.
My mother died young also. And then she had a brother. They all died young. My mother was the oldest. She lived the longest. My uncle Ferdinand was their name. My grandfather was Ferdinand Haller. And his son was having his name, the same name. And he only lived until 49 years old. My mother was I think my mother lived longer because she wrote to me that he died.
So you were already in America by the time your uncle died?
I was here. And my mother died after I was here only a short while. I was here. She died in 1925.
So you were here just not very long.
No, I wasn't. She was sick when I left, even. And when I left, she went part ways with me. And we had no clinic in our hometown. She had to go to the clinic. She had something wrong in her intestines. And she went with me when I left for America and went to the clinic on the same day when I left. And she said to me, "Oh, kiss me, because I'm not going to see you anymore," she said.
How did that make you feel when that happened?
I felt bad. Poor mother. I should have never left her. But my other sister was home yet, and she had her, and my father too.
What kinds of things did your mother have to do around the house when you were a child? What were some of her responsibilities in the house?
Just every day, whatever a household is.
What were some of those things?
Get up in the morning, make breakfast. We all had to eat together. That is one thing. We all had to sit around and we all had to pray together before we started sitting down. We prayed our morning prayer.
Do you remember that prayer that you prayed?
Yes.
Can you say it for us in
German? I can say it.
Please.
O Gott, du hast in dieser Nacht so väterlich für mich gewacht. Ich lob und preise dich dafür und dank für alles Gute dir. Bewahre mich auch diesen Tag vor Sünde, Tod und jeder Plag. Und was ich denke, red und tu, das segne bester Vater du. Beschütze auch, ich bitte dich, o heiliger Schutzengel mich. Maria, bitt an Gottes Thron für mich bei Jesus, deinem Sohn. Der hochgelobt sei alle Zeit, von nun an bis in Ewigkeit. Amen.
Thank you.
That is my morning prayer. And my night prayer I know too.
Well, would you say that for us too?
Bevor ich mich zur Ruhe leg, ich Händ und Herz zu Gott erheb, und sage Dank für jede Gab, die ich von dir empfangen hab. Und was ich I got a little mixed up.
That's okay, take your time.
Was ich von dir... I have to start all over again.
Go right ahead, it's okay.
Can I start over again?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Before the night prayer, or was it the morning prayer?
This was the night prayer.
Bevor ich mich zur Ruhe leg, ich Händ und Herz zu Gott erheb und sage Dank für jede Gab, die ich von dir empfangen hab. Und habe ich beleidigt dich, verzeih mir's Gott, ich bitte dich. Dann schließ ich froh die Augen zu. Mein Engel wacht ja, wenn ich ruh. Maria, liebste Mutter mein, o lass mich dir empfohlen sein. Und du, mein Heiland, Jesus Christ, der ja mein Gott und alles ist. In deine Wunden schließ mich ein, dann schlaf ich ruhig, keusch und rein. Amen.
Thank you.
That's my night prayer. I say that every night.
Who taught you those prayers?
I guess we got it from our mother. Our mother, she was a very good Catholic too. And then the grandmother and grandfather, I had a grandmother on father's side. She was just as good. I only had the grandfather on mother's side, and I had the grandmother on father's side. And they both were very good people.
Were there other ways that you practiced your religion at home?
Oh, yes. We always went to church. We was never allowed to miss Mass on Sunday. Never. When we came to school on Monday, the teacher asked us who was not in church Sunday. And we had to get up and tell her why.
In the church in the town, did you have a specific place where your family sat?
No, not where my family sat, but the children. All the children from the school. I went to Catholic school. We had a Catholic school on this side of the building, and on the other side of the building was the Protestant children.
Well, that's interesting that they segregate them.
It was a big schoolhouse, and the girls were separate and the boys were separate on both sides. So there was four different places. The girls on this side and the girls on this side. Those over there was the Protestant and these were the Catholics. And then the boys was in the back and on our side too. And we weren't allowed to be together. We
so
all had our, when we had recess, we all had our own little territory, and we were not allowed to go over there to them. That was, we wouldn't even try to do it.
So not only were you segregated by religion, but you were segregated by sex as well.
And there was no fences, no fences. We just wasn't allowed and we didn't go. That things were so much better years ago when we were brought up. We were brought up wonderful.
But I want to talk some more about your mom, too, in the house. You mentioned she got up and she made breakfast. Talk about the kitchen that you had in the house.
We had a small kitchen.
What did it look like?
Well, an ordinary kitchen. She didn't have... Well, we had... About normal, whatever everybody else had. She had the table and benches, so we had room to sit. We had a table with a drawer, and in the drawer was the knives, forks, and tablecloth. When we were eating, we took it out and set the table. That was all in the table, a nice big drawer.
Where did you keep the dishes?
The dishes was in the dish closet and the side. And we had to bring them out.
Do you remember what the dishes looked like that you ate off of?
Yes. The plates were something like this with a rim on it.
So they were white and round?
Yeah, with a rim on it, the plates. and the cups.
Did they have a design on them, or how were they decorated?
That I can't remember. I don't think so. I don't think we had a design. Maybe there was a little design sometime.
Well, there was always food on top of it, probably.
Yeah.
How did your mother cook the food?
We had a stove and she had to make a fire. She had to put little pieces of wood. We used to go to the woods and collect it. And she started a fire and she put the wood on it. And then after a while we had briquettes. They were that big. And you laid one or two on and that keeps the fire going all day.
These briquettes were rectangular and about 6 inches long?
Yeah, they were about this size. Uh-huh. And it said briquettes. And they got hot and cooked.
And what kinds of food would she cook for breakfast?
For breakfast? We only had coffee and bread.
Where did the bread come
from? Well, the children used to get milk. The bread came from the baker.
And what time of the day would you eat breakfast?
Oh, about maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock.
And then when would be the next meal?
At 12 o'clock.
And what would that meal consist of?
That was our main meal. That was a soup. And if you had meat, you had meat. My mother used to cook a pound of meat for 7 people we were. A pound. Well, the German pound is a little bigger. And the broth from the soup, from the meat, she made the soup. She made either a Einlauf soup or a Kartoffel soup. Can you talk German?
No. Well, let's back up. What was the first kind of soup you said?
Einlauf. That's made with an egg.
And how is that spelled?
Einlauf.
And
Einlauf soup.
And what did that? What you said it was made with an egg. What? How was the egg used in the soup?
She took the fork and the dish where she put the egg. She maybe had to put two in if we were a lot of people, and she clappered and
scrambled
uh-huh. it and put a little water to it, and then she poured it slowly into this broth. And that used to be a wonderful soup.
That would thicken the broth, I should think.
Yes, yes.
And then what was the second kind of soup that you said?
What kind? Then she used to make a good noodle soup.
No, you said a German word.
Did I?
Yes.
How did I say it? Einlauf. I forgot what I said.
Oh, well, maybe you'll think. We'll talk about the noodle soup.
Maybe it'll come to me.
Maybe it'll come to you.
Oh, Kartoffel soup.
That's it.
We used to have a lot of kartoffel soup.
And spell it first.
The potato. Kartoffel. KARTOFEL.
And that's a potato soup?
Yeah.
Okay, kartoffel. Explain to me how she made that.
You cut the potatoes up in small pieces. And I guess she must have had water, because she put afterwards the Frankfurters in it, and they made the soup good. We used to have it good. And then she used to take a piece of butter and onion and put it in a pan and brown that, and with that she put it, we call it lished it off, you know. You put it into, and it sizzles, and that makes the soup good.
This is the melted butter.
I make a kartoffel soup sometime here.
What? I can tell you like the soup.
I love the German.
You're very enthusiastic
about soups.
It.
I love soups.
Tell me, you used a German word again for the melted butter that began with an L. You call it
Lichtet off.
Yes, can you spell that, please?
Oh, in German?
Please.
L, O, but there is two.
The umlaut.
That's, yeah, we have them on. S, C, H, E, D, Licht.
And that'd be the melting of the butter that you pour into the soup. So that was your main meal, the noontime meal.
Yeah. Kartoffel soup, and then she had some meat, and sometimes a potato salad with green salad mixed.
Would you come home from school to eat this meal? How did that work?
Yes, the whole family ate always together. We always ate together when father came home from the factory.
So what time did you eat? When was the next meal? That was the noontime meal.
In the evening we just ate, maybe we had very little coffee. Coffee was expensive, but she used to make the Malz Café. That is a substitute. We had that a lot.
Malz Café?
Malz Café. Katrainer's Malz Café.
Dear.
It's like a postum,
uh-huh.
What they had here. When I came here to this country, I went to buy it, the postum.
Right, because it's a similar kind of thing.
We had to grind it, you know, the beans. And sometimes she put a couple of good beans in, good coffee, but only about 5 or 6. Because it was very expensive. We couldn't buy it. We didn't have the money to buy all that. We were just a middle-class family.
What time of the day would you eat this last meal?
Oh, about 6 o'clock in the evening.
So your father would be home from the factory by then. You, of course, were home from school.
That's right. We all was together.
What would your mother make for a special occasion? What kind of a meal would she present for a special occasion, like maybe a religious holiday?
We never had a special occasion. When there was a special occasion, we were invited to the grandmother, and she had a lovely table. When we received our first communion, everyone came to the grandmother. She invited the communicant. We never had a special. Yes, sometimes my father brought. He used to work for a consume.
For the what?
A consume.
Consume?
Yeah.
Is that a German word?
It was, yes, consume.
How do you spell that?
K-O-S-U-M.
Consume.
Consume.
C-O-N-S-U-M?
K-O-N-S-U-M.
And what is that?
It was an organization, I think. I don't know. We called it a consume, and he used to work there, my father. He was all over.
Was this aside from his usual job?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
We should actually, what was your father's name?
Carl.
With a K?
With a K.
And what do you know about his family background?
Oh, he came from a family, a beautiful family. 8 children, 6 boys and 2 girls. And I know everyone's name.
Say it if you'd like.
My father was Karl. Then came Friedrich. Then came... not long ago I mentioned it. Then came, sometimes it goes out of my head. Karl Friedrich. Oh, see when you want it.
These were his brothers and sisters?
Yes. Friedrich. I forget him now. It comes to me later on again.
We'll keep talking and it will come back to you.
And Friedrich Eugene My goodness, I knew them all.
Well, that's okay. Tell me, what did your father's father do for a living?
Oh, we didn't know him. He died young. We didn't know him. We only knew the grandmother.
And what do you remember about your father's mother?
Oh, she was a beautiful, tall woman. She was tall, and she loved all the children. And we used to come to her, and she'd go and make a butter bread, a piece of bread with butter on it, and we loved it.
Was that unusual for you to eat, then, the butter on the bread?
Yes, she used to do that. We came to her, maybe we had to bring something there, I forget, but she used to give us a butter bread, like another child will get candy, but we got always a butter bread. And even strangers or, friends in the neighborhood, if we went to the store for anybody, they give us a butter bread, we call it. And it was good.
Talk to me about your father's relationship to his mother. How did they get along?
They got along fine. When I came to America, when I came here, she said to him, "Du lasch das Mädle so weit weg. You let that girl go so far away." She didn't like it, my grandmother. Oh, my.
So you enjoyed visiting your grandmother, obviously.
Yes.
What sticks out in your mind about the house where she lived?
She had a beautiful house. I got the pictures here.
Well, tell me on tape, what are some of the things about the house that stick out in your
mind?
She
had a four-story house, and the bottom was a family, and the next was a family. It was all her own children in it. And then another one, and she was on the top. My grandmother lived on the top floor in a four-family house. After a while, she made a store downstairs, and in the back there was the kitchen and another room and for my father's brother, Friedrich. He was a gardener. He was a gardener.
Gardener.
And he had a lovely piece of garden a little ways away from the house, and she made this for him. So he started up a store in that room and sold vegetables and, you know, what a fruit store sells. That's what he did, Friedrich.
What do you remember? Is there an object in her apartment that sticks out in your mind, something that as a child you were very attracted to that she owned in her house?
She had a lovely garden.
But something in the house, an object that she had, or a piece of furniture, or something that she liked to show you, or that you played with as a child in the
house? No,
nothing.
We had no toys much. Very little toys.
What do you remember for playing as a child? You say you didn't have
We used to play outside. We used to make our own things up. We used to make with a chalk, a piece of chalk, we made a square? Yeah, a square, and we cut it off. Now the top was the himmel. We used to play. We had maybe a piece of stone, and we had to throw it, and if we didn't get it, we were out, and the next one came. And
himmel meaning heaven.
It was a game.
Yeah. What was it called in German?
I wouldn't know. I don't know what we called it. I remember that so well.
Do you remember any rhymes or little poems that you would say while you were playing?
Yes, one I know. Wir reisen nach Amerika und wer will mit? Alle Kinder dürfen mit, als du bleibst zurück. So we was in a ring, and then the one that had to stay back had to go out. We were playing, around a ring around. We held our hands together, maybe 6, 7, or 8 children. However, they were here, We were playing together, neighbor's children.
And what does that rhyme mean in English?
We're going to America. And who will want to go? Who wants to go? Everybody can go with us, but you have to stay. You see, it was a game we played.
Oh, that's great.
All these things, when I think of it, we used to have wonderful times.
Yeah.
I wish the children today would play like that. There was no bad things going on in our place.
What about at home? Was there a game or something that you did with your parents at home? Was there some... How did they play with the children?
Oh, what did we do? I don't think we played anything. We didn't have time. We didn't have time. We had to help working. When we grew up, I was maybe 6, 7, or 8. I don't know how old I was. I used to have to go in the straw hood fabric. You know those kind of hats they use? You remember Maurice Chevalier?
Yes, like a straw hat.
Them kind of hats.
A straw hat.
My mother, we had big boxes. We had to go and get them. And my mother sewed the bands in. And inside, the leather bands, inside of those hats. And we used to had to go and get them and bring them back to the straw hood fabric.
Can you spell that, please?
Straw hat factory.
Right. Spell it in German, though.
Straught. Straw hood. Straw hood. Yeah, that's right. Did I do it right now? I'm wondering.
So.
I can write it too.
Your mother did this at home.
Yes.
Why did she do this?
She took homework because we needed the money to get along on.
Do you remember how much she would make for how many hat bands she would sew?
I wouldn't know that. That I don't know. And then after a while, later on, we were bigger already, she took, we had these kind of clocks like that. You see that clock over there?
Like the alarm clock.
Yeah, they
here.
Made them in our factory. We went to get the glasses. We had to go and get them, and I suppose in a box, or they were packed in. And we brought them home, and we had to clean them.
These are the glass
over
the face of the clock.
You had to clean them and put them back again. That was all work which we did on the side.
So the children were expected to help out?
Oh, yes, when you were big enough.
What was your father's daily job? What job did he do to bring in money?
He used to, when he was younger, he had a bakery. To start with, he was a baker, but he lost it. Too many children came, and they couldn't make a go of it. That's what my aunt told me when I went home the first time with my daughter. She was 6 years old when I went back home, and she told me that's what he did.
But what did he do when you were a child? Did he work in one of the factories, or?
Yes. He was a baker, but he lost that, and that's how he went to the factory to work.
And which factory? One of the clock factories?
The same one. There's only this one. The other one was so far away. We only went to the nearest one.
And did he work in the clock factory your whole life in Germany? I mean, is that what he was doing?
No, not the whole life. I don't know how long he was there. And then when the First World War started, that was in 1914, and I was just, what was I,
nine
years old, yes. When that started, he joined the Red Cross, And he volunteered right away when the war broke out. He volunteered right away. And he was in the Balkan states, where they're fighting now.
Yes, the Balkans.
In Macedonia and Serbia, in all these states. And he was with the Red Cross.
Did he ever tell you stories about his experiences when he was with the Red Cross?
No, he didn't. Not with us children. He used to come home on a furlough, but not long. He had to go back again. But he did. He worked with the Red Cross, and the women also worked with them. The women were there, and there was a war, and they had to get the wounded in the field. It was hard for him.
You said he never really talked about it afterwards.
No.
How old was he in 1914?
How old was he? I don't know when he was born. That I don't know. He died in 1934. My mother died in 1925. He lived 9 years longer. And he died in 34. I was here already. And it goes out of my head so fast what I'm thinking. He died in 1934.
Do you know how old he was when he died?
Yes. He was 63 and a half.
All right, so.
You can figure that out.
34.
Or say 64.
Well, so he'd be born around 1870, maybe?
Yeah, around that. And around my mother, too.
So he's
they were both about the same age.
So he's maybe in his early to mid-40s when World War One breaks out.
Yeah.
Right, he'd be 40 in 19. If he were born in 1870, he'd be 40 in 1910.
Yeah.
So
he did a lot of work.
What year did your parents get married?
He got the what do you call it? The Iron Cross. I gave it to one of my foster children. Elaine had foster children. I gave all these things. My father gave them to me. Whatever he got, an Iron Cross and maybe more things, whatever. He earned it, you know. He was a good worker.
Do you know what year your parents were married?
I think in 1899. I think so, because my oldest sister was born in 1900. That I remember. She was born. She died at 22 years old. Mm-hmm. And you know why she died? She had to work in the factory. And she worked on those radium dials.
Radium dials?
Yeah. And she got very sick. She was in bed about 2 years. And that's why she died.
She would have died right before she you came to America, or soon before you came to America.
Yeah.
She die in 1922?
Yes. That was the year.
If she was born in 1900.
She was in August 1922, she died. I was already going with my husband. He came out from here, from Waterbury, Connecticut. His mother didn't want him at home. That's why he came out. During the war, he was in Philadelphia. He worked, he was a machinist. He was a good man. I was 45 years with him. I have no complaints.
Well, good. We're going to be talking about him later.
We're going from one thing to the other.
I know. Well, there's so much information inside. Yeah. I really would like to talk about World War One.
Okay.
And I'd like to talk about, first of all, your memories of the war, especially, like, do you remember when the war started, and
yes.
What do you remember?
Yes, I remember when that started. We had a redaction. You know, that was a where they print the newspaper. What do they call it here?
Like a printing place?
Yes.
What was the name that you used?
Redaction.
Can you spell that?
R-E-D-A-C-T. I could write it better, maybe.
Here's a piece of paper. You said R-E.
Yeah.
R-E.
Redaktion.
And what does that mean? What is a redaktion?
Where they print the newspaper.
Oh, that was where they did it.
Where they print the newspaper.
R-E-D. T-A-C.
Redaktion. Is it right?
R-E-D-A-C-T.
Yeah. I think that's what we called it, redaktion.
I-O-N,
now,
redaktion.
Maybe it should be a K here instead of the C.
Okay, well, and that was the actual place where the newspaper was printed.
Yes.
Okay, what do you remember about
they
that?
They put, every day, whatever happened, you know, when things happen, they put the sign out, and everybody went there to read it. We didn't buy much newspapers. Then it broke out, and everybody was very upset when the war broke out, the First World War in 1914. I remember that so well. I was 9 years old.
And why? What sticks out in your mind about that?
The Serbian's Kronprinz Paar was murdered. They murdered the Crown Prince pair in Serbia.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what they did.
How did the war affect your life at that time?
Not much. I guess we didn't. I don't remember
well,
too much about
it. Well, your father went away.
Yeah. I don't know, did he go right away or I can't remember.
What about...
It was really bad that time.
Did you know anyone who was called to serve for the German army?
Oh, they all had to come. Everybody who was of age.
Did you have anyone in your family that had to
no,
go?
No, only my father.
Just your father.
My brother, I had a brother. He had infantile paralysis, and he never was called for anything. He died about 2 years ago. I had a wonderful brother. I wanted him to come here too, but they didn't let him in. And I wanted my youngest, I would have had my whole family here. My youngest sister couldn't come. She has a glass eye, and it was my brother's fault. He brought from the factory a shrapnel or whatever it was home, and he started shooting it off in the garden downstairs. I was on the fourth floor by my grandmother, just came home from school, and he was with my cousin, with the cousin, and I was wondering what they were doing. And the cousin went in and brought a hammer out. I was nosy what they were doing down there. I was looking out the window by my grandmother. My mother was in the hospital at the time. And all of a sudden it was like a bomb blowed. You know what a shrapnel does.
It's like a little explosive.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yes, little and round.
He brought it home, I think, from the factory. He worked on them. He was 16 years old.
So how did your sister...
My sister lost her eye through that.
Because it exploded and...
Yeah, she got the powder in her eye, and my mother was in the hospital. And my youngest sister, her eye was running all the time. So we went to the hospital to tell my mother, and my mother said, bring her here. We brought her there, and the doctor found out she had to go to Tübingen, to the clinic. That was about 4 hours away. And she was there a couple of years. She was there a long time until she came home with a glass eye. That's what we had. We had troubles too.
During the First World War, do you remember anything being difficult to get? Were there any food shortages or anything like that?
Plenty. We didn't have much to eat. Towards the end, we had hardly anything to eat no more. And we had all certificates, you know, you got stamps, and you only got so much for each person, and we never had enough of bread. My grandmother used to give hers to us. We used to get them from different relatives, because we were five children, and we didn't have much to eat. But my mother was lucky that she had all the relatives, and they helped her.
Where would your mother go to get the food at this time? Did you have to go to a special place?
There was always a special store where you had to go and get it. And you couldn't get it without the stamp. And they only gave you so much. They didn't give you much food. But we ate enough. We made it do. We had a lot of potatoes, you know, we grew the tomatoes, the potatoes, the farmers. We had a lot of farmers around, but we had no relative farmers. And those that had relatives, they got always plenty to eat. And we used to get a little bit something. My mother had friends too. But I remember we never was without anything, but towards the last, there was no food anymore. And then America sent food over. And we used to get from America meat, but the meat, we couldn't eat it. It was such a funny taste. It wasn't good. We didn't even like it. I don't know what it was, but we couldn't eat it.
How did the meat come? How was it packaged?
It was in pieces from pigs. It was Schweinefleisch, they call it. Pig's meat.
Pig's meat.
Like a bacon. And it was, well, we had better bacon in Germany, but we couldn't eat that. But, well, sometimes when you're hungry enough, you eat it.
What about clothing or anything like that? Was there a problem during the
clothes? Oh, I don't remember about the clothes anymore. We had not many clothes. That is one thing. We had a everyday dress to go to school and a Sunday dress. And that everyday dress got washed and Saturday when we didn't have to go to school, so we had it fresh for Monday.
Can you describe for me?
They were made out of gingham. Gingham. You know what gingham is.
Like a check fabric.
Yeah. Very, very.
How long were the dresses at that time when you were a girl?
About halfway down.
Halfway down your calf?
Yeah. About, halfway down.
And sleeves, and, what was?
Oh, long sleeves and round here. Everything closed up. They buttoned in the back, the clothes, the dresses. And they were very plain, but you see them sometimes. I see them sometimes on pictures, the older things.
Is there anything else you remember about World War One or that period? Did you ever see any soldiers during that time period?
Oh, we saw the enemies. The enemy, when they catch the, what do you call them? In Deutsch heißt man Gefangene.
The prisoners?
Prisoners, yeah. We used to go over there where they were, and they used to come to the gate, and we used to talk to them, we children.
And what nationalities were the prisoners?
What were they? All kinds. All kinds. And I don't know whether we could communicate. I can't remember much, but we were going there and they were coming here and talked to us.
Do you remember when the war was over? Do you remember when?
No, I don't remember when it was over. But when it was over, it was wonderful. You know, we had the Kaiser at that time in Berlin, and in Stuttgart we had a king.
Well, how was when the war was over? How did what happened?
Oh, we
to
were
your
so
life?
Happy! Oh, they made a big festival, and the children gathered flowers, and they had a parade in the city. It was beautiful when the war was over. Everybody was running together and was so happy.
Can you talk a little bit about the economic situation after the war? Like, Germany, of course, experienced tremendous inflation of the money after World War I. What do you remember about that period?
Well, yes, I don't know now. When the war was over in 1914.
The war was over in 1918.
Oh, that's right. I can't remember much about that. My uncle Friedrich, my father's second brother, he was taken a prisoner by the French the whole time. The whole time he was a prisoner over there.
Did he ever tell any stories about that experience?
I can't remember that, because when he came home, we couldn't get near him. There was my grandmother. It was wonderful when he came home, and of course he was so happy too. 4 whole years he was taken a prisoner right in the beginning.
He probably was filled with stories.
Yeah.
When did your father come home?
That I can't remember.
You said he had furloughs occasionally.
Yeah. I can't remember that, when he came home. You know, some things you can't remember.
When you were a girl growing up in Germany, how did you think about America? What did you know about America before you got here?
Oh, not a thing. I didn't know anything, but my husband had friends. They sent him all the time the funny sheets. He loved the funny sheets.
Oh, the comics in the newspaper.
Yeah, the comics. Oh, he was so happy that they sent them from Waterbury, Connecticut. But his people, well, they weren't too close.
What year did you meet your husband to be?
I met him, I was 16. I was working in a hotel for 15 months. My father brought me there. I was 13 when he brought me there. I got out of school at that time. And he brought me right away to that hotel. And I had to do all around work. And 15 months I was there. And I got 30 marks a month. That didn't even give me a pair of shoes. Then I thought, I'm not going to stay here, I go to the factory. And that was Junghans. They always took people in, you know. You could always get a job there. So I got a job there, and that is where I met my husband. His mother sent him out to his relatives.
Was he born in America?
No, he was born in Lindau am Bodensee.
You've got to spell that for me.
Lindau.
Please.
Lindau is a city, and the Bodensee is what do they call a little water?
A lake?
A lake, that's right.
Spell Lindau. Lindau.
Lindau, L-I-N-D-A-U.
Okay, and Lindau. Then Bodensee?
Bodensee. B-O-D-E-N-S-E-E.
And if that's one word, Bodensee.
Yeah, that's all one word.
Uh-huh. So he was born in Germany. When did he come to the United States?
3 months. He was 3 months old when his mother brought him. The father came first. He had a Wirtschaft. You know what a Wirtschaft is. It's like a saloon, but it's a better thing. They had tables and chairs to sit down and drink your beer or whatever you order. And he had that. And what I heard, he had trouble with a Jewish man. I don't know how. And he left. He didn't stay there, whatever the trouble was. A cousin to my husband told me that. That's how he came to America. He left America by himself. He left his wife there.
And he came to America.
And
by
he
himself.
Came here and went to work in a brewery. So after a while, he sent for her. And The baby was 3 months old. He had to leave her there now. Whether the how long he was here, I don't know, when he sent for her. So she came then with the baby, and he was three months old.
So your husband-to-be was 3 months old when he first came to America.
Yes.
And we're going to just stop for a second so I can put another tape into the machine.
All right.
This is the end of tape one with Clara Schmidt.
You're doing...